Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnati Marandasya Gananga Salakya Chaksurum Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swaparantikam. Our topic today is eating the fruit of your words. We are where we are in large part because of the words that we speak about ourselves. Words are like seeds. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're speaking. And if you continue to say it, it eventually becomes a reality. Whether you realize it or not, you're prophesying your future. And that's great when you go around saying, I'm special, I'm unique, I'm one of a kind, I've got a contribution to make that only I can make. I was created for a great purpose and I'm going to fulfill it. But today, too many people are going around uttering dire predictions over themselves. I never get the breaks. I'll probably get laid off. I'm just average. I'm a C student. I'll never lose that weight. I'll never get into shape. They don't realize that they're calling in defeat. They're calling in mediocrity, bad breaks, and lack. Scripture says we eat the fruit of our words. When you talk, you're planting seeds. And sooner or later, those seeds are going to bear fruit. And you're going to have to eat that fruit. I'm sure we'd all rather eat sweet than bitter fruit. And so therefore, make sure that the seeds that you're planting are going to produce good, sweet fruit. If you want oranges or apples, my advice to you is don't plant cactus, mushrooms, or poison ivy seeds. Nelson Mandela, who, as you know, opposed the apartheid South African regime and was imprisoned for almost 3 decades, knew the power of words. He said, "It is never my custom to use words lightly. If 27 years in prison has taught me anything, it was to use the silence of solitude to make me understand how precious words are and how real speech is in its impact on the way people live and die." It is said words have the power of God, and therefore we don't have the right to misuse them. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "I am the sacred syllable, Aum." It is also said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Aum." That Word was God. Krishna used that simple syllable to create everything. That Aum is a seed from which the entire universe expands. As you may know, the subtlest of the 5 material elements is sound. The next subtle element is air. Then we proceed to fire. And then we progress to water. And then finally we get earth. Telescoping out one after another, God created with sound, air, fire, water, and then earth. And when it's time for cosmic annihilation, that process will reverse itself. Whereas in the beginning you had only sound, at the end, after annihilation, you'll come back to Aum. The power of speech, the power of sound, created millions and millions of universes. We're created after the image of God more than any other creature because of our power of sound and our power of words, which do more than just convey information. The power of words can destroy another person's spirit, stir up hatred, violence. The power of words can not only exacerbate existing wounds, but can inflict them and cause them directly. Of all the creatures on the planet, only man has the ability to communicate through the spoken word. I heard this quote recently. I'm not sure who said it. "Careless, loose, and inordinate speech is a characteristic of our extrovert and restless civilization. We do not understand the value of deliberate and careful speech because we are ignorant of the source of this precious faculty and totally unaware of the power of the spoken word. Our speech is often too impulsive and hence thoughtless and meaningless. Much of the confusion and the turmoil of our world today is reflected in our irresponsible use of speech. Our foolish and wrong use of words adds to the prevailing confusion and is a major factor in creating tensions and bringing about misunderstandings. We're often divided today because of words. Now, if we could purify and control our speech, there would be several beneficial results. We would tone our moral fiber, we would improve our character, and thus we would be better able to seek for the solutions to the numerous problems that we're facing individually and collectively today. Everybody who's here today, who dreams of a better world, I'm cautioning you, should start by watching your words. They can either save you or they can damn you. For anyone aspiring to live a higher spiritual life, control of speech is a sine qua non. All the great spiritualists have enjoined the purification and restraint of words. In other words, you can't talk negative and live a positive life. You can't talk defeat and expect to have victory. You can't talk lack, not enough, can't afford it, never get ahead, and expect to enjoy abundance. If you have a poor mouth, you're going to have a poor life. If you don't like what you're seeing in your life right now, start sowing different seeds. Instead of saying, I'll never get well, Chiru, this sickness has been in my family for 3 generations. Plant the right seeds by saying, Krishna is restoring health back to me. This sickness doesn't come to stay, it came to pass. I'm getting better and better every day. If you keep sowing those seeds, eventually you'll eat that abundant fruit, health, wholeness, and victory. Instead of saying, I'll never get out of debt, I'll never rise any higher, you start speaking the promises of God. I'll lend and not borrow. Whatever I touch prospers and succeeds. I'm coming into overflow, into more than enough. A highly recommended way of expressing that and a lot more is chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's sowing the seeds of abundance, the seeds of increase. No more. I'll never accomplish my dreams. Instead, I have the favor of Krishna. Blessings are chasing me down. The right people are searching me out. New opportunities, new levels are in my future. If you'll keep talking like that, you'll reap a harvest of great things. The Bhagavad Gita talks about how with our tongue we can bless our life or we can curse our life. A lot of people don't realize that they're cursing their own future with their words. Every time you say, I don't get any good breaks, you just cursed your life. I'll never be able to afford that nice house, you just cursed your life. I'll never be able to break that addiction, you just put a curse on your life. I'll never meet the right person, curse. Now stop cursing your future. The enemy doesn't even have to defeat us. We're doing a great job of defeating ourselves. Pay attention to what you're saying. Are you cursing your life or are you blessing it? When we speak, we're using a creative energy whose origin is truly divine. And hence to misuse or abuse or even use vainly this gift from above is to desecrate it. Food for thought, another quote, I don't know who said this. There is a close relationship between the creative energy of speech and the creative force of sex. Those who indulge in obscene and vulgar talk will find themselves lapsing into sexual promiscuity, seemingly against their will. Indulgence in dirty and ugly speech makes for indecent behavior. Thus, control and cleansing of one's speech is essential for raising this creative urge from the gross and the animalistic upwards to the spiritual and the sublime. The poet said, we shape ourselves the joys and fears of which the coming life is made and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine or with shade. My question is, are you going to shape your future out of fear by talking all defeative, negative, and profane? Or are you going to shape your future out of joy by chanting the holy names of the Lord? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On January 1st, every year, the combined Krishna devotees and visitors in both the Spanish Fork and the Salt Lake temples, they start off every new year with a japathon. We have our beads, we loan out beads to anyone who visits the temple on that day, and we chant as many holy names of God as we can. Last year, about 200 and some devotees and visitors chanted 5,400,000 names of God the first day of the new year. And we're going to do it again Tuesday a week. So you're invited to join us. We have aarti at noon, a nice lunch at 12:30, and then we're going to spend the whole afternoon chanting. If you don't have any beads, we've got some we can loan you. Now, my question is, if you start out the year that way, do you think that you're going to have a blessed year, or do you think you're going to have a cursed year? You think you're going to have a year of sunshine or a year of shade?
Sunshine.
Happiness or sorrow?
Happiness.
Prosperity or scarcity?
Prosperity.
We're in a rhythm here. Bhagavad Gita says, actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those which work for the Lord. A true mind is that which always remembers Him. Dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. Actual ears are those that listen to the sanctifying topics about Him. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I've heard it said that we are snared by the words from our mouth. Snared means to be trapped. Your words can trap you. What you say can cause you to stumble and keep you from your potential. You're not snared by what you think. Negative thoughts come to us all. But when you speak them out loud, then you give them life. When you speak them, they assume a reality. If you say, I'll never get back in shape, it becomes very difficult to get back in shape. You just made it harder. When you say, I never get any good breaks, you stop the favor that was already ordained to you. If you say, I'm not that talented, I don't have a good personality, you're calling in mediocrity, setting the limits for your life. When negative thoughts come, here's the key. Zip it up. Don't verbalize them. If you don't verbalize them, that thought will die stillborn. Even sometimes you're just about to burst with negativity. You can hardly resist the temptation to get on the cell phone and call all your friends, go on Facebook with all the doom and gloom. You know what you have to do when that desire is almost irrepressible? You have to fake it till you make it, or faith it till you make it. You may think, I'll never get that job. I'll never get well. I'll never meet the right person. We all have those negative thoughts. You can't stop them knocking on your door. But our challenge is, don't give the words life by speaking them out loud. Don't call all your friends and tell them how it's not going to happen. Don't wolf whistle and bother the ladies, because you may actually end up in your next life with four legs and a fur coat. Tell yourself, I don't see a way, but I know that Krishna has a way. He didn't bring me this far to leave me hanging. Krishna is supplying all our needs. May look impossible from our current point of view, but with Him, all things are possible. No better than to curse your future. No better than to get trapped by your own words. Here it is said, in the tough times, you have to be especially on guard. It's very tempting to vent your frustration, tell people how the loan didn't go through, how bad the medical report was, or how certain people just didn't treat you right. But when you continually talk about the problem, that's only going to make you more discouraged, and it gives the problem more life. You're making it bigger. Turn it around. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the promise. Instead of complaining, oh man, I've got this big challenge in my life, state, I've got big challenges, but I've got a much bigger God. He spoke worlds into existence. Nothing's too difficult for Him. Instead of moaning, oh, I didn't get the promotion they promised, they passed over me again, another disappointment, declare, I know that when one door closes, that means God's going to open a better door somewhere else. He's directing my steps. I'm excited about my future. Instead of concluding, I'll never meet the right person, I'm too old, it's been too long, state, something good is going to happen to me, divine connections are come my way. You may have noticed this. In life, There are two voices always competing for our attention. The voice of faith and the voice of defeat. It's not going to work it out. Just accept it. As much as 77% of everything we think is negative and counterproductive and works against us. People who grow up in the average American household here know or are told what they can't do more than 148,000 times by the time they reach 18. The result? Unintentional negative programming. No wonder they're tempted to worry, to be negative, to complain. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear another voice. It may not be as loud, as abrasive, as raucous as the voice of defeat. It may be quieter, peaceful, more serene. You may have to take a little effort to tune into it. The voice of faith is saying, Krishna has a way. Favor is coming. Healing is coming. Breakthroughs are coming. Your spouse is on the way. One voice will tell you that you've reached your limits. You've gone as far as you can. You don't have what it takes. The other voice is objective, clear, and matter of fact. You're well able. Your best days are still out in front of you. God will take what now seems for your harm, and he'll use it for your good. Now, here's the beauty. You get to choose which voice comes to life. The way you do that is by what you speak. When you verbalize that thought, you're giving it the right to come to pass. You mope around saying the problem's too big, I'll never get well. You're choosing the wrong voice. You have to get into agreement with Krishna. The other voice may seem louder, but you can override it. You can take away all of its power by choosing the voice of faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maybe you're going to a job interview. One voice will tell you, you're not going to get it. You're wasting your time. These people are not going to like you. But another voice will counter, you have the favor of Krishna. You're blessed. You're confident. You're likable. You have what it takes. If you get up that morning and tell your spouse, I don't think I'm going to get this job. They're not going to like me. I'm not qualified. Then there's no use in your going. You might as well just go back to bed. You've already been trapped by your words. You have to dig in your heels and say, I'm not giving life to any more defeat. I'm not speaking lack. I'm not speaking sickness. I'm not speaking mediocrity, fear, doubt. I can't do it. I'm choosing the voice of faith. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm a victor and not a victim. Arjuna started out the Bhagavad Gita by verbalizing his doubts. These are my relatives, my superiors, my cousins, my brothers. Better I live at begging than live at the cost of their lives on the battlefield. Maybe I should just die unarmed and unresisting rather than to live at the cost of the lives of my superiors. What was the first thing Krishna said to Arjuna in response? He says, zip it up. You can't say anything positive, then just don't say anything. Krishna immediately stopped his negative bodily-based calculations. And why did Krishna do that? Because he knew that if Arjuna continued to talk in this way, he'd become more depressed. Krishna, in effect, said, Arjuna, keep a lid on it. You may think it, that's fine, but don't speak it out loud. In the next 700 immortal verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna predicted Arjuna's future by words of power, by words of inspiration, by words of encouragement, by uplifting words. Krishna said and basically showed Arjuna in the 11th chapter that the wrongdoers, the forces of darkness and evil, they're already defeated by my arrangement. And you, O Arjuna, can be but an instrument in the fight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm telling you tonight that Krishna has called each and every one of us to do something great. He's put dreams and desires inside you. But it's easy to acquiesce, as Arjuna did, and say, I can't do that. Those are my relatives. How can I fight them? I'm not meant to defeat them. I don't have the experience. I don't have the energy. We can all make excuses, but God is saying to us, tonight what he said to Arjuna, stop saying that. Don't curse your future. Those negative, bodily-centered words will keep you from Krishna's best. Sometimes, here's a thought, the reason that a promise is being delayed is because of what we're saying. Imagine that your answer, the promotion, the new house, your future wife is already on the way. Krishna's already dispatched your healing, your promotion, your vindication. And right before it arrives, Krishna says, hold on. Hold it right there. Don't go any further. The Shakti says, well, why, Krishna? It's what you promised right there in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, no, listen to what he's saying. He got impatient. He got discouraged. He got sour. Now he's talking about how it's not going to happen, how the problem is too big, how it's been too long, how he'll never meet the right person. I wonder how many times we're just a couple of months away from seeing the promotion, a couple of weeks away from meeting the right person. You've been praying for years that Krishna would bring someone great, some connections into your life, but right before somebody shows up, you let your guard down and you start saying, oh, I don't think it's going to happen. It's been too long. I'm too old. Nobody's interested in me. Krishna says, hold it up. Don't go any further. Now, the good news is that Krishna doesn't recall. He doesn't cancel the promise. It's still in your future. But you have to zip it up. You have to zip up the doubt and switch over into faith. At the right time, that person will show up. That promotion will show up. That new home will show up. That temple will show up. That mission will manifest itself. Krishna will release what negative words have delayed. He still has your healing. He still has your restoration. He still has your promotion. But you have to do your part. You have to quit talking about how it's not going to happen. You may not see a way, but Krishna has a way. May look impossible, but he can do the impossible. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that God's not working. Right now, behind the scenes, he's arranging things in your favor. He's lining up the right people. He's moving the wrong people out of the way. He's positioning you exactly where he wants you to be. Now, don't delay the promise by speaking negative words. Here's a little example. Some colleges accept only 5% of the students who apply. That means, of course, that 95% of the applicants get turned down. So it would be easy to think, why do I even bother to apply to one of these schools? It's practically impossible to get in. More than 9 out of 10 students get denied. If you're not careful, you'll talk yourself out of it. You may think those thoughts, but don't make the mistake of acting or verbalizing on them. Learn to turn it around. Krishna, I know that you're in complete control. You've already picked out the right college for me to attend. There may be only a 5% chance for me to get into some schools, but Krishna, I know that with you, there's a 100% chance that I will get into exactly the college that you want me to go in. Why? Because you control the whole universe. Now, that's much better than going around saying, all the odds are against me, it doesn't look good, I don't see how it's going to happen. If you can't be positive, at least just be quiet. Your words prophesy your future. If you say, I'll never get in, you're right, you'll never get in. If you say, the problem's going to sink me, it will take you under. If you say, I'll never be able to afford this nice house, then you'll never be able to afford that nice house. You're being snared by the words out of your mouth. What am I saying? Instead of imprisoning yourself with your words, the positive alternative is to chant. When you chant the name of God, you will be free. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All through the day, you need to ask yourself, is what is about to come out of my mouth what I want to come into my life? Because what you're saying, you're inviting. When you say, I'll never pay off my house and get out of debt, the economy is too slow, you're inviting struggle and lack. When you say, my career is dead-ended, this is as good as it gets, you're inviting defeat and mediocrity. My suggestion tonight is send out some new invitations. When you say, I will lend and not borrow, God's favor surrounds me like a shield. Whatever I touch prospers and succeeds, you're inviting increase. You're inviting good breaks, success. When you say, I will overcome this problem, I am more than a conqueror. If God be for me, who dare be against me? You're inviting strength, health, restoration, vindication, and breakthroughs. Pay attention to what you're inviting. I'll never pass this algebra course. I've never been good in math. I just don't understand it. Change the invitation. I can do all things through Krishna's holy names. I have a good understanding. I'm full of wisdom. I'm an A student. When you do that, you're inviting wisdom and an acceleration of knowledge. You're inviting Krishna's blessings. Make sure you're sending out the right invitations. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna started expressing his doubts. Krishna basically told him to close his mouth and start listening. That's why we have two ears and only one mouth. None of us ever learn anything when we were speaking. So Krishna reversed the outpouring of Arjuna's negative words and inputted his immortal words of the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. Those words dissipated Arjuna's confusion like the sun dissipates the darkness with the sunrise. After hearing from Krishna, Arjuna said, I totally, Krishna, accept everything you've told me is truth. I'm now firmly fixed and free from doubt. I am fully prepared to act according to your instructions. If instead of giving voice to the negative and the lusty thoughts and cursing our futures, let me offer you tonight the positive alternative of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may not initially feel confident, initially feel equipped, prosperous, healthy, blessed, but if you open your heart and your mouth to the all-powerful names of the Lord, things will begin to turn in your favor. The odds will go from being against you to being for you. The winds of Krishna's grace will blow in your direction. You'll become full of peace, full of joy, of abundance, purposefulness, and satisfaction in this life. And in the next life, you can look forward to going back home, back to Godhead. Thanks very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.